This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Ben Gary back here producing, by the way. They are in the loop and they start now.
That is right. I'm going to change the tone of this immediately. We are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on hallowed ground, as we said earlier. Yeah. We are in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., for the 125th Army-Navy football game presented by USAA. Fine folks at USAA, Brent brought us out. We appreciate it. And we're actually broadcasting, as you mentioned, right next to Arlington. Arlington Cemetery, and obviously in the Women's Military Memorial. And so that is where we are. We're not in this in Houston, but we will give you a Football Friday Houston style on this Friday. Always get involved with the program. The YouTube and Twitch are still available for you. Plus, of course, the text line, 713-572-4610, where I will ask, what is your confidence level for this Texans-Dolphins game? In fact, Figgy, we were walking in here, and obviously we're on Media Row. There's a lot of different radio stations here broadcasting ahead of this game. And we were walking in with a few folks, and they were asking
some folks from Nashville.
Yeah. Nashville. Obviously, the opponent's the enemy. and they were asking us that confidence level thing. And I was kind of thinking to myself, I don't know. Like, I don't know how confident I am for this one.
I'm telling you, I'm cautiously optimistic, which is always a good way to say you're not real confident, because I'm not. I do feel a little better about things, and we're going to find out more perhaps during our show. We're already finding out more about the offensive line, which we're going to get to. And I kind of, believe it or not, spoiler alert, like what the reporting is from Aaron Wilson, because I think they are going to just play this as the best guy goes at left guard. But in terms of just generalities here, I mean, the Miami Dolphins, it's like basketball. Basketball is all about matchups. You know, like who matches up with who.
That's funny that you use basketball as the comparison. Because typically that comparison when you go cross sports is boxing, right? Boxing styles makes fights is typically the way. So you went basketball.
It's basketball because I want to see where your weak spot is. I'm going to try to create an opportunity, whether it's a high screen, let's go all in on basketball, or a post up or something up on your weak spot. What scares me about the Miami Dolphins is they're going to be posting up on the nickel cornerback and the linebacker coverage. And
so Jimmy Ward in specific, and then obviously the likes of Henry Toto, maybe Neville Hewitt, maybe
Christian Harris.
If you win a little
bottle of wine. But they're still
going
to test him. They're still going to test him. He hadn't played all year. So this is sort of a basketball. I like my squad, but I don't know about the matchups.
Yeah, I mean, I think – if I find a little confidence, some of it has been for me a little bit of coming off of the bye week. Like, just the general idea of having some R&R and what that could do for a team that you could feel was reeling a little bit. Not entirely, but in certain ways, you could feel like they needed that rest deeply. And so, obviously, also, and we'll hear more from the coordinators as they talked yesterday, but Bobby Slowick, Matt Burke, and Frank Ross. But one of the things that you talk about is just, you know, the opportunity for self-scouting. Like, that's some of the things that we've had concern with this team have been, can they fix some of these things? An opportunity to take a good look at it. Hopefully that helps with this as well. And you look at the practice report, and while, of course, you know that Juice Scruggs is out with the foot injury, you know that Jalen Petrie is out with the torn pectoral muscle that is going to have him having season-ending surgery. Danico Autry, full participant, right? Like, all these guys participating to a strong degree. And so you have your guys, a majority of the complement of the guys out there healthy, and hopefully a fresh eye on the game plan that you want to put to it. It feels like, as you mentioned, styles make fights, the opportunity to pick at each other's weaknesses. There are some opportunities for you to pick at their weaknesses, some of which we detailed yesterday.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And hopefully Bobby and, of course, all the other people that are play calling are able to do that.
Really going to dig in on this basketball analogy
you
here.
Because
what do you do to a pressing team? You press a pressing team, right? That's the old adage. You press a pressing team.
Back in my day when I was coaching.
Hey, don't get me started.
There's that voice. By the way, yes, Figgy Fig is indeed with us. I feel like I should have mentioned that. It's all three of us here in the Women's Memorial here. Shout out to Ben holding us down on the ones and twos back in Houston, too.
And, so you press a pressing team. You trap a trapping team. You give them a taste of their own medicine. I feel like the Texans can do that when you look at the matchups. And we'll make our picks later, and we're going to hear from all kinds of people today. But I feel like the Texans can test a defense in Miami that probably is not going to bring a lot of pressure, especially off the edges, maybe up the middle, but not off the edges. So I think you're going to be able to do that short, you know, the self-scouting you're talking about, the short passing game, get more guys involved in screens, test Miami sideline to sideline and with short passes that can go a long way, the same way they're going to test you.
Yeah. Now, you did mention earlier the idea of the offensive line, and Aaron Wilson of KPRC2 does a good job covering this team, and earlier this morning he was pointing to the idea that that this team, as you remember yesterday, we were looking at the practice report and we they didn't even line up the offensive line during the time where the media gets to see practice, and I don't know if that was intentional or what have you, but what we have learned is both Kenyon Green and Zach Thomas, the two guys that it feels like it comes down to on who plays left guard for your team this week, both of them were splitting time at guard during practice this week. And so what do you make of that? First and foremost, do you like it? And second, like, does that mean that do you feel like that means we get Kenyon? Or does that feel like we get your third left guard, or fourth, in fact, left guard of the season?
I just hope it's not window dressing and leaking that necessarily to Aaron Wilson to say, hey, look, we're not giving Kenyon Green the job. I hope it's legit because I do like it, to answer your question. I like the fact that this is a competition-based. D'Amico Ryans came in here day one from his opening press conference. It's about competing. It's about putting the best guy, you know, whether you're a rookie or a 10-year veteran, doesn't matter, who's going to be best for us. I hope that's what they're doing, because if Zach Thomas outplayed and outplays, because they have practice today, Kenyon Green at left guard this week, start him. Start him. Play him.
How would you feel if that happened the other way, if Kenyon Green is the better player? Are you fine with that?
The next thing I was going to ask you guys about, because I feel like Kenyon Green, they're not giving it to him. They're doing exactly what, hey, you were injured, but we know that you stunk in pass protection. So don't think that just because you're healthy now and Juice Scruggs is hurt, that you're going to get right in there. No, that's not how we're going to do it. I hope that's legit. I hope it's just not like for show that they're, hey, look, we had a competition and Kenyon Green's back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, that's what it feels like when it comes to splitting time with practice reps, that they're giving each of those guys adequate time to do this, right? And I don't think you put Zach Thomas in there for a equal amount of snaps and then you go, all right, but we were always going to go to Kenyon Green. Like, I think you do that to give yourself a look to see how these guys are playing and which one of these guys executes, right? That word has been the watchword for this team all season long. Which one of these guys executes at the higher level?
Yeah.
Put them out there and see that if they can protect C.J. Stroud, if you can get things going, get the ball out to your receivers and let them cook in the ways that it's – we detailed yesterday, right? The Jets were able to do some things against this Miami defense. This Miami Dolphins defense has some susceptibilities, especially if they are not tackling like they weren't last week against the Jets. Getting the ball to Nico Collins, getting the ball to the likes of Mechie and Tank Dellen specifically. Hey, let's get that gentleman going. Yeah. That would be really helpful. But I did ask to start this, what is your confidence level? And, of course, you find folks always deliver on the text line, 713-572-4610 from the 346, negative 3. Wow. I didn't even put a scale, so this is going to be fun. 713-100 is where they are. So I imagine that's very good. Give it a 7.5, the 832 says. We need to go get Odell. That sounds very negative on confidence meter, if I'm going to be completely honest. If you're not familiar, Odell Beckham, who was on the Dolphins, and it's easy for you to not know that because how prominent has
Didn't
he been there? They waived him this week. But, yeah, man, you look around at this, and it feels like the confidence is up and down. I think that – I don't want to say confidence wavers with this team or in this team, but it just feels like there's a lot of unknown. And so hopefully they can come out and show us a little something.
And the confidence with me also is old school, simple, maybe a trite. But I do believe in not necessarily flipping a switch and all of a sudden you're better off a bye week. But I do think you're definitely rested, and I do think you can make some adjustments. We're seeing it obviously out of necessity on the offensive line, but we can also see, you know, they've had 2 weeks to figure out how they're going to stop the fastest team perhaps in the NFL.
We'll see if we can get a little insight into that throughout the course of the show. Of course, we got you for 4 hours. We're broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. ahead of the Army-Navy football game, 125th iteration of it presented by USAA. And you're listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Nicole Auerbach of NBC Sports, talk a little bit about college football and particularly this Army-Navy game. We'll do that next.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
In the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, you got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula live from Washington, D.C. The Military Women's Memorial is where we're located as we get ready for the 125th Army-Navy game. And joining us right now in our hot seat is Nicole Auerbach. She is a sports analyst for NBC, longtime coverer of the college football things. Yeah, I'm just making up words at this point.
It made sense to me.
Thank you. Nicole, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I was just telling you guys off air, I've covered this game before, but not in a while, so I'm excited to be back.
Okay, so awesome. I'm brand new to this experience, and
you will love it.
Okay, yes. So first of all, I would like to ask, what is your favorite part of the Army Navy experience, so that I can be kind of looking out for some of the best parts of
okay,
this?
Okay, so the two key parts are before and after the game. So you need to go there early enough to watch the march on, which I'm sure people have told you. That's really, really cool to see, you know, the cadets and the midshipmen all on the field. And then after, obviously, the singing second. You hear it all
right.
the time, right? You want to sing second. I have been like 5 feet away from Jeff Munkin after Army won, and they're singing second, and it is just an unbelievable emotional moment.
Yeah.
So those are the keys. Those are the ones. Everything else will be awesome, though, like wander around the tailgate scene outside of the stadium. It really is unlike anything else. Everyone always says it's a bucket list experience. It totally is. And it lives up to it. So, but definitely savor the before and the after.
Yeah, no doubt. Some things are happening in college football.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
We got things happening here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bill Belichick dominating the news. Now, I had a theory yesterday as this happened, because at first I was like, I don't know, like a lot of people, I don't know how it's going to play out, et cetera. The more I thought about it, the more I realized, even if he doesn't win a lot of games, say he's there 2 years, you know, just as an example. Let's say he goes 7-5 and 5-7, and that's that. What he's done for the University of North Carolina to elevate from $5 million to $20 million, or $4 million to $20 million in NIL money, raising the salaries of coaches, bringing a admittedly dysfunctional administration at North Carolina together to pull on the rope in the same way. That'll never go away. Whether Bill Belichick, they're not going to go back to $4 million. You know what I'm saying? They've all of a sudden recognized that they need to commit to football, whether he's successful or not.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair argument to make. I mean, it's kind of the argument people made about Deion Sanders when he got to Colorado was, hey, even if this experiment doesn't work, think about all the attention it got. Mm-hmm. You know, it upped admissions, and, mm-hmm. and people were talking about Colorado football. They hadn't in a long, long time. They haven't won, had a winning season in X amount of years. And it definitely is dominating the news cycle mm-hmm. in a time where, you know, the ACC and the Big 12 are falling behind mm-hmm. the SEC and the Big 10. Like, everyone's talking about the ACC and this hire. But I do think that, you know, the world is changing a little bit next year anyway. And that's where the $20 million, I need to dive into exactly if it includes the rev share piece, because mm-hmm. everyone's going to be able to pay their athletes right. directly next year.
Yeah.
So I actually think that, yes, there's going to be efforts to fundraise NIL money on top of that, but it's more of an even playing field if everyone's paying around the same and you're mm-hmm. not saying, yeah, like, oh, our total budget is $5 million, but Ohio State's is 20. That's yeah. a huge gap. But if everyone's paying like 13 from mm-hmm. the school and then you do a little bit extra, whatever, it's much more even, I think. So okay. I'm like, that's my theory that I'm interested to see if that plays out.
Sure.
But yes, the fundraising element of an exciting hire, that's why people do it, right? Winning the yeah. press conference and all of that matters, because you do need that buy-in from donors. And that's one of the things that I'm interested to see about taking this job. And I think Bill, the way that he talked about college football, I do think he understands mm-hmm. what makes it different and uniquely complicated. But he is going to have to, like, shake hands and oh, talk yeah. to donors and then talk to teenagers.
Sit in living rooms.
Yeah, like he's right. going to have to do all sorts of stuff that we've never seen him do before.
So do you think it'll work?
I think it's going to be harder than people think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to work. And, again, I think there's different levels of success of when you do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be harder because the way that I've heard NFL people talk about this hire is like that, oh, well, he's a great NFL coach. Boom, this is easier. It's like an easier level, JV football. It's not. I think it's harder. I think it's more complicated because mm-hmm. you have to wear like 8 different hats and have yeah. like 8 different jobs.
Yeah.
And only one of them is actually coaching football. Like, he's going to clearly realize that, like, if he wanted to spend more time game planning, he's mm-hmm. not really going to get to do that as a college head coach as much. But it sounds like he really wanted to be yeah. coaching again, mm-hmm. right? And if the NFL isn't giving you that opportunity, you do it this way. The fascinating thing about, like, is this going to work is that contract.
Yes.
Because he might never coach a game for Carolina.
No.
He owes Carolina $10 million if he leaves before June, like 6 months from now. That's like a weird, I've never seen a contract like that. And then it's $1 million after. So the way I read that is, like, he wants to give it a year. See if he does enough that the NFL is like, all right, we'll bring you back. You can go after that wins record. You know, whatever. We'll yeah. lock it in. But, I mean, like, does something happen in July or August and yeah. he fails? Like, you just don't know. So I think the structure of the contract is what gives me a little bit pause of, like, mm-hmm. what does he want to do?
What's the plan here? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the actual plan?
Now, we're talking to Nicole Auerbach. She's a sports analyst analyst for NBC Sports. There we go. Let's get that right. I feel like another big talking point has been the 12-team playoff and the way that this thing has gone. Do you feel like in seeing it, and obviously we still remain to see the games, does this feel like it's been a success for what it feels like the 12-team playoff has been implemented for?
Yeah, I do. I think that the goals were to, you know, increase access, and the fact that, you know, Boise State's in this thing, that Indiana's in this thing, that SMU's in this thing, like, that shows that that worked. And then it increased engagement throughout the year. I mean, we didn't, quote, write teams off mm-hmm. after a loss in September. Yeah. You know, people were in the hunt, and there were so many interesting races down the stretch in November because of that, because all these games had playoff implications. And so I think all of that part worked. Where there, I think, needs to be some changes, like, I think the seeding
yes.
ended up being a problem.
Totally agree, yeah.
And I think that's an easy fix. I think they could fix it for next year. I mean, like, I think I expect it to be reexamined. Mm-hmm. And the commissioners that oversee the CFP, they meet the morning of the championship game, they meet in the spring, and they'll have grievances to air, certainly. But I would just say, okay, 5 conference champions, you get in, so you play for that, and then you just rank them 1 to 12.
And reseed.
Or reseed after the first round. Either
yeah.
way. But the number one overall seed should not be looking at this and being like, why do I have the hardest pass?
Yeah, yeah. But it does work. I'm just adamant about it. Like, you know, like Alabama, if you want to complain these guys are tired of hearing me say this, but like, win another damn game.
Yeah.
Or just don't lose to Oklahoma.
Yeah, like, win another game.
They were in.
What are you complaining about?
I know. Yeah. Two unranked opponents, bad losses.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't get an unlimited amount of mulligans, and that's how I feel. Because most years, it actually set up for a team like Alabama to get in.
Yeah.
But you just don't get three of them. You don't get three losses. Yeah. Like, they were 5-2.
It's not that hard.
They were going to be in.
And
it's
then
just
the bizarre stuff about talking about non-conference. This is going to affect non-conference. You won every damn non-conference game you play.
That was... I don't know what kind of misdirection that was. Yeah, Greg Byrne.
It
was very strange. And listen, I don't think that's ever going to happen because people need butts and seats and season tickets sold.
Sure.
So you can't play just a bunch of like directional schools.
Yeah.
But I the whining and the complaints of like, this has happened to everybody else. Alabama usually gets the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
It's okay if you had two bad losses to unranked teams that kept you out. We actually would like to, you know, what happens on the field to impact selection and seeding.
Would you also agree that, like, in college football, with these larger, conferences that are getting bigger and bigger, and, you know, the scheduling being harder to kind of hit all of the quote-unquote good teams, that it's becoming more difficult to determine who is good on a given year?
Yes, and that's something that I think, like, again, Alabama's misdirecting their anger on this, like, non-conference scheduling point. The bigger point is you had different schedules within the SEC. Texas had an easier schedule. Like, these are league office things, and they're very hard to do in an era of mega conferences where you don't have divisions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be so much imbalance within the own conference. And so you either have to decide, like, as a selection committee, we're really not going to penalize people because, like, Indiana played who they had to play.
Yeah.
Or you're like, well, you know, this team gets more credit because they played a more challenging conference schedule. But it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crapshoot year in and year out because these leagues are too big.
Yes.
All right, pretty big. We've got to bring it full circle here before we let you go. Pretty impressive year by Army and Navy.
Yes,
I mean that is there a reason for that? Like you can see, I mean, like other than great coaching, which they have
they
both have great coaching. But I mean NIL. I mean, come on. I mean, it's not. I mean,
they have no NIL.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They can't use the portal.
What is the reason? What is the possibility of them continuing to be good in an NIL world?
Yeah. I mean, their coaches are concerned about that.
Yeah.
But it's already a different kind of guy that comes and plays. You know, and picks a service academy in the first place. They're always going to look, you know, recruit nationally and look for under recruited guys.
Yeah.
Or guys that want to play quarterback but are told by everyone else that they can't, right? They're too small.
Yeah.
That's usually the story of every quarterback at the service academies. I mean, Bryson Daly is really, really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's had a really special season. I know, you know, the commissioner of the conference, they were arguing he should have been a Heisman finalist.
Yeah.
But there is definitely, I mean, there were some tweaks offensively. The way that Army has been running this offense is different than it's been in years past. But I think it's just, again, it's kind of the argument for the collective over individual stars that are plugging and playing and moving in and out each year. And I think that that's kind of it. It's just a unique place, a special place with its own limitations. But you also have a conference affiliation and a schedule that should help, at least attract talent or at least be able to make arguments playing at a higher level.
Nicole, we appreciate you giving us some of your time. And one of the things I will say I also appreciate, you embracing your likeness with Aubrey Plaza. That's always a good thing for me as well. Hope you enjoy this 125th edition of the Army-Navy game.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. There you go. That's Nicole Arbach, NBC Sports analyst, college football and college basketball. I almost asked her.
Yeah, we should ask them. We should talk some hoops.
The Cougs, especially like what's the change that happens this year for the Cougs to take them from just being a team that is constantly around the Final Four to the one that actually wins it this year. But that's neither here nor there, right?
Yeah. We were talking volleyball.
We were talking volleyball
last night.
We were last night. In fact, let's go ahead and do that now. Tales from the hotel bar, because obviously we get a little. It's a road trip, right? It's a work trip, and so when you get on the work trip, you're in the hotel, and after we got in, got settled, we headed down to the hotel bar. And we're just hanging out. So what was your big more? What was the thing that you enjoyed the most about sitting at the hotel bar? Because I feel like I was able to put some people onto some new drinks. As you mentioned, we're watching some volleyball.
Hey, salute to that bartender.
The look on our bartender's face was like, I don't know what it was, Figgy, but he said, I'd like an old-fashioned, but with rum.
That is correct. A rum old-fashioned. Shout out to Ivan out there. I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah,
he put
you
would have
thought
this.
He said poop.
She looked at him like, are you freaking kidding me? And she made it. With the big ice cube and everything.
And, okay, see, you don't have to take my word for it because I'm biased. I was the one who asked for it. Figgy, you got a chance to try it. What'd you think?
It was all right, man.
Oh,
it was all
on.
Right. I will say it was very lighter.
A lot lighter.
Well, if you like it lighter, then they're okay.
Exactly.
Because the old fashioned can be kind of heavy. Yeah. This was a little lighter.
But they didn't have Amazon at the hotel bar. Yeah. So we're watching.
And it's a nice bar.
It's a great bar.
Downtown D.C.
Great bar. But we're watching Louisville and Purdue volleyball. I got far too into that.
Yeah. Y'all was throwing out names. Yeah. I'm like,
shout out to Anna DeBeer. Girl, Anna really DeBeer. Good. Anna DeBeer's really good. I was like, acting like I knew what I was doing.
But we did start, like, when we talk about light or heavy, like, we were kind of in a, we got a little heavy talking sports. Like, you end up in a bar hanging out, and you end up talking sports, and we really kind of settled on this.
Astros, man.
Yeah, just talking about, because it feels like it's inevitable that Kyle Tucker's getting traded, right? Hey. Like, all of the smoke that keeps coming up with all these various insiders and reporters around baseball, it feels like Kyle Tucker's good as gone.
You see they posted the video of the Young Guns.
Dude, that's what really got it started.
Yeah, that's, to me, I'm like, all right, that's the writing on the wall right there.
There are so many signals that they are sending. I think I said that last night when I was sipping on my...
What did you order? I didn't even see
vodka martini.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
They didn't have cocktail onions, so I couldn't order a Gibson, so I got a vodka martini.
Okay, all right.
I actually got two of them. But anyway.
Yeah, and you didn't get a third because we wanted you to stay. You were the one who checked out early.
I got to feed my dog.
I got to call my wife.
I did.
I have to talk to my wife.
I did. So the signals that the Astros are sending, I mean, it's obvious. Like, they're not even trying to hide it anymore, that they are very much on the table with Kyle Tucker and Bregman, and hell, maybe even Fromber ultimately leaving.
It's over with, man.
Well, you say over with. I think that there is – I really and truly do believe that there is a space for, like, a step-back season because that is –
Well, this era is over with, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Bregman, the Tucker, and all – nah, that's over with. Yeah. It's a new era now.
Yeah, but I do think there is a possibility of, like, utilizing Fromber, utilizing Kyle Tucker to get some young talent that then gives you an opportunity to go further. And I think one of the things that we were remembering is the idea of, hey, there's some of this big money that's coming off of the table in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why we're talking about the window continuing is you think about it, and there's still some big, you know, big hitters, literally and figuratively, right, on this Astros team. We talk about, you still got Yordan, you have Altuve, whatever that remains over the next 3-4 seasons or what have you. Obviously, you still have Yonder Diaz. Like, you still have, I mean, Jeremy Pena, obviously not necessarily hit, but, you know, if he returns to form at second base defensively, because that, or second base, at shortstop defensively, which is, that was a bit of a concern this season. But yeah, like, you have the bones of still having something that can be worthwhile if you address some of these pieces. And I think that you can, if you get these young guys, even if they're young guys that come up, or young guys that can then be used as assets again. And then we did start relitigating again the Yusei Kikuchi trade, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. But you know, we were talking about the signals. Let's go through some of those.
All right?
So they've been. This is what really got the conversation started. Like, it's clear. So they have been leaking stories. First of all, you go back a few weeks. They leaked.
Man, it's a leaky ass organization.
they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
They leaked the
the
Bregman contract details, which was going to be $50 million off at minimum. Then they were, you know, more and more reporters are coming up with, hey, even McTaggart, you know, was kind of indicating, hey, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if Kyle Tucker's trade. Well, that's not coming from out of nowhere. And then yesterday.
Chandler Rome did a lot of that as well.
And Chandler Rome did it as well. And yesterday, the Astros themselves tweeted a video. What do they call it? Young Guns? Everybody on the squad that's young.
Pedro Leon. I'm like, buddy, what am I looking at Pedro Leon highlight?
And
no disrespect.
I mean, I feel like you have to say with all due respect, because there's clearly a little bit of disrespect there. But, like, I think there is something to be said for the text line letting us know that, hey, that might have been in relation to the Rule 5 draft that just came through where you are getting some young guns. We might be doing a little stretch.
Nah, I feel like they saying, hey, let's get hype for the young kids coming
up. That's what it looked like.
You're going to see them pretty soon.
That's what it looked like. and then no Tucker, no Fromber. Obviously, they're not that young, but Tucker's not old.
No, but again,
Horace Whitaker.
Yeah, but I think that's the issue, is that, like, you know, that big payday is coming. It feels like this is a situation where they're going to take a step back for a season, maybe two, and get themselves to the opportunity where they get rid of some of the bad contracts, admittedly, that they have on their books, get some young talent, and maybe go again. I just at least am happy about the idea, if that is indeed the plan, that there is one, because the real scary thing with all of this, as we've been talking about it for a month or more, is that the possibility that they were going to make moves that did not work together, and then you end up in this barren landscape where you don't have a plan to go forward, and then you end up having to reboot this thing again, and it's 2014 all over again.
Honestly, I think it's kind of smart. I think that's something they probably should do. If you know you're not going to win the World Series, you got to try to retool. Everybody getting older, and if you don't want to pay Tucker, try to retool and try to come back in a couple years.
I don't really have a problem with that at all. You're absolutely right. They are on the record as we are going to, as long as I'm the owner, we're going to contend, or we're going to try to win and all that stuff. It's just a little... It's a little funny, you know, that they're really sending out a lot of signals.
They really are. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're broadcasting live from Radio Row at the 125th Army-Navy game presented by USAA. And they're fine folks are taking care of us. By the way, the jerseys for this game are sick. I'm sure that you've seen them. Obviously, they've been released on social media and such. But seeing them in person is something.
Yeah, this game will mean a little more, man.
It really is.
They actually pretty good this year,
yeah,
man.
They're both teams. Real good.
Yeah.
And the uniforms are sick. The Army one is from... it's a tribute to 101st Airborne.
I think that's
Battle of the Bulge.
Yes, and then the Navy one is the Jolly Rogers. So, man, this is real cool
stuff.
We have
the sickest logo you could possibly see.
100%. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, it's time for our question of the day. You know, we had a little work trip, so we did a little traveling yesterday. What's the most irritating thing about traveling? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. We'll talk about that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Actually, Mr. Big Voice Man, we are live in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., at Radio Row for the 125th edition of Army-Navy, taking place at Northwest Stadium, the home of the Commandos. But for this weekend, it'll be the home of the Cadets, the Black Knights, and the Midshipmen, right? Like, it should be really fun to get this thing going. And, of course, to get out here, we had to do a little bit of traveling. Hopped on a plane. Got flued out. And so the question of the day is, what is the most irritating thing about traveling? Because I thought for the most part, smooth sailing for us.
I'm so glad you said that because I was very hesitant. Everybody, I mean, it's easy to complain about travel, right? This, and that. And when I talked to my wife last night after leaving the bar.
You could have talked to her at the bar. That's the whole point of having an Apple when you can do FaceTime. You just be doing that in front of everybody and making everybody else annoyed and listen to your conversation.
But I was telling her, like, as today's travel goes, like, it used to be travel was part of one of the best parts of the experience of getting somewhere. Now it's one of the worst.
Oh, man. But I
told her, as travel goes, there was supposed to be traffic construction around the airport in Houston. Got right in.
Which, I mean, it's been constructed. Like, the IAH has been under construction for the entirety of my lifetime, probably.
Yeah. The security line wasn't long.
Pretty smooth.
Got through there. Got to the terminal and to the gate. No problem getting on. Plenty of room for luggage. Got to the flight. Hey, we're leaving early. We're going to arrive early. Smooth flight. Like, as today's travel goes, completely as good as you could get.
Minimum turbulence.
However, there was. So, Reggie, you were in front of me, and you heard this, and you didn't know what it was until I explained it as we got off the airplane. All right, so there was a woman sitting next to me, and the whole flight, I'm not talking about like just pre-flight before he wheels up and all that stuff, the whole flight on her phone, which is cool, and a lot of us, we all do that.
As long as it's in airplane mode.
With the volume up, texting, playing games.
Bling.
With the volume up.
Bling.
And I was telling you guys when we got off, I mean, it was beyond that. It was like a game, you know. And I was telling you guys when I got off the airplane, like, if you do that on an airplane in today's world, you're not forgetful. You're not just like, oh, you know, whatever, I forgot, you know, or you're just being, you know, ignorant. Nobody's ignorant of it. Nobody's forgetful of it. You're just rude.
No, you just don't give a
damn. You're just rude.
I don't give a damn about none of y'all around here.
Yeah, that's exactly
I'm keeping my volume up.
Yeah. Especially in the day and age where everybody's got some earbuds. Yeah, I mean, like everybody has some level of headphone situation that you can use. Or, as you mentioned, you can just turn that volume down
right quick.
That is a possibility.
Now, if you ain't got no headphones, man, you got to take it to the game, man. You got to turn it off, man. You got to turn the volume down.
And she was doing it the whole flight. And I didn't sleep, so it wasn't a big deal. But
It was
irritating.
It wasn't a super short flight. It wasn't a super long flight either. It was
almost
like
two and a half hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours.
But yeah, other than that, pretty smooth flight. Funny enough, I don't think we coordinated to get there at the same time, but we all happened to get there at the same time. But I turned to the text line where 346 says, worst thing about traveling is getting to the hotel and your bed ain't as comfortable as the one in your house. Yeah, it just doesn't fit your body right and you end up waking up. Thankfully, I don't know about y'all, I did not have that experience. Like, USAA is treating us real good.
Slept like a rock.
Out here.
Yeah.
At Army, Navy, we want to make sure that we get, in fact, not just like the accommodations, like everything. It is befitting of service academies and the service.
They run a tight ship.
They run a very tight ship. They've been regimented. Like, they were like, hey, at 10 o'clock. We are leaving. I looked down when the bus moved, and it was 10 o'clock in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, they were there, bro. Yeah. We were moving. So
And everything was so easy, too, because usually when you're traveling, it's always some type of issue with, the hotel. What hotel number is this? And what's your confirmation number? And they usually give you a lot of issues. And everything was so smooth, man. Yeah.
Unless you were Lopez trying to angle
get
for a
penthouse.
Upgrade. Yeah. Penthouse.
Hey, look, okay.
This dude got a penthouse. Like, is the room they gave you not good enough?
Well, okay. So, as you guys know, I spent the better part of 20 years traveling all over the country, all over the world, which is not bragging. It's because it gets very, very old. It gets very, very tired. It's cool, but it gets very old, and you're away from your family, and you join these clubs, Marriott Bonvoy in this case, for where we're staying. Okay, I put in all that time. And I go up there, and they go, oh, you're platinum, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. He goes, would you like me to see if there's an upgrade? Well, I sure do. So I got the upgrade. I got the better view.
Lopez was sitting there talking to that man for about 20 minutes.
I was working it.
he was the first one at the desk.
Yes.
I came second. I got in, got out. Reggie came in, got in, got out. And we sitting about 5-10 minutes waiting. He's sitting there laughing and giggling. I'm like, wait, what is he doing? He going to mess around, get a doggone hot tub in the middle of the
hotel. They gave me the honeymoon suite. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
You got
the heart bed?
Nice little gift bag. I got a nice little gift bag from
with the champagne?
Had good, nice little sweets, little strawberries, all that good stuff.
Hey,
I earned that, man.
All right. Okay. I'm not arguing with you right now. But yeah, the most irritating parts of traveling from the text line, from the 713, closed overhead bins and then having to check in. Like, so, you know, you're like, I'm going to carry on. And then say, actually, you can't. Here's an extra $50 that you got to come up off of you did not anticipate.
That's worst when they make you pay, too. Yes. Because sometimes, you know, they'd be like, no, we got you. You know, don't worry about that. Well, you got to pay too.
But at the very, like, even if you don't have to pay, now you got to go to baggage claim.
Yeah,
you do have to do that. Some other things: people in boarding group 3 and 4 trying to take a carry-on, they should know they aren't going to have any overhead bins available. Thankfully, we were lucky in that regard. Oh, okay. 619 was just like, you know, got having to use the facilities. A mile up.
Yeah, I didn't even. I was holding it the whole time because I had the window.
Yeah,
I wasn't about.
I hate going to the bathroom
on a plane.
Nah,
you're good on that.
I hold it down.
But
man,
if you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a fair one that we are. I think we kind of experienced from 281. They said they just got back from Colorado. Cold weather clothes are too big and take up too much room.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I had my coat in there, and I was like, oh, okay, so this is going to be a quarter of what I take.
Yeah.
We have to be a little bit more more diligent with what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, overall, pretty good travel. I haven't seen any horror stories here on the text line, though. I will say this about
so we flew out of Bush, and I do appreciate they had those machines where you don't have to take your laptop out at TSA.
That
was so clutch, man, because I had a laptop and iPad, and they usually be like, oh, 2 separate bins for this your bag.
And now they have them, but I've often wondered in recent travels, like, all the things that we can do technology-wise, and we still have to take our laptops out?
Yeah, I don't understand the taking the shoes off, man. Like, why do we still have to take
the shoes off, messed it up for all of us.
I know, man.
Don't
get me started on my TSA rant. I think it's someone else came with the TSA scam.
Yeah.
It's a doggone scam, because why do we have Clear and all these other places where, hey, if you pay $100, you ain't got to do all of that. I'm like, I thought it was a safety thing.
Yeah.
So why do I got to pay to just go in like a normal person?
It's a safety thing for you brokey. Which, by the way, should I be concerned? Because I went through the scanner thing, you know, you raise your hands and everything. If you haven't been anytime recently, they have like the thing that goes around just to make sure that you're not packing nothing that you're not supposed to be packing, right? I walked out of that and she was like, I just got to check the back of your head. And I was like,
what did it identify on the back of my head?
You got a plate in your head?
I don't think so. Dude, I don't think so.
The one time I flew out, man, I think the first time I did Army Navy, I had my hair up in the style. And I think it was like a
they
talk about they got to check my hair, so they was all grabbing.
Everybody knows.
I'm like, man,
that's where you had a knife. I was in your hair.
I was so pissed. I'm like, man,
poking a pencil in there.
No, they were actually like sticking a finger in the bun. Pause. And I'm just like, man, what are you? I'm like, man, so I'm keeping my hair down. That's not my fly.
Now you did experience a little bit of that. I said it was all smooth, but Figgy was held up a little bit. 713 says, getting behind the people that only travel once or twice a year.
You know what? I thought about this too because I was behind a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two, mom, dad, and two kids and with a stroller. I'd never seen an experience where it was just so easy peasy for them. It seemed like it's always hectic.
Yeah.
Babies crying, they trying to get stuff together. I'm like, man.
Which honestly,
I always feel so bad for them.
I relate to them babies. The airport is a deeply unnatural place.
Yes, it is.
They're like, why are we here? What is going on? This makes no sense.
It just feel like you're going to do something illegal and you're going to get shoved to the ground for something, man.
It is kind of sad, though, that it used to be so cool to travel and now it's like, oh, I got to travel.
It's stressful, man.
Yeah. I mean, but is it all bad? You can buy pants. Express at the gate.
Well, I went with the Schlotzkys because I didn't know if I was going to finish it by the time I got on the plane. But you got Panda Express. Good man, they got great food. In the E terminal in Houston. Yeah,
well, if you say so,
they do. They do. See, that's part of the benefit of
being a Platinum member.
No. Of now that they don't serve meals anymore on planes, there's better restaurants in the terminals.
You said benefit, huh?
I guess benefit. I sound like I work for an airline now.
So you do pay for it.
Yeah.
You do pay for it. All right. We traveled. We're here at Army Navy. Excited to see it, man. Like, as mentioned earlier, man, this is going to be a really good football game. Both teams really good. I was asked in the hotel, actually earlier this morning, right, because they saw that I had, like, USAA stuff. And of course, they're the presenting sponsor of Army Navy, plus just like the association that they have with the military. And they're like, which side of the stadium are you going to be on? And I didn't know how to answer because, like, you know, here's media just kind of observing this all. But I feel like if I have to establish a association, I'm leaning Army right now.
Yeah.
And it might just be like the team is like good. They won their first conference title and everything in 130 some years. Like, just really like Bryson Daly. Like, okay, maybe that's something I should ask our guests throughout the show is like, which way should I lean?
I'm confused. Who should I lean? I usually kind of cheer for the team that hadn't won in a while, but they've both kind of going back and forth lately.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably leaning Army. Really, and for those who weren't listening earlier, we're broadcasting in a terrific place. Don't let the hostage video that you see on YouTube confuse you, because it looks like we're going to be held for ransom on the YouTube. But don't let that confuse you. We're at the
Military Women's Memorial.
Women's Memorial.
Right off of the National Mall in D.C.
Right off the National Mall, right next to Arlington National Cemetery. Really, really cool. And my mother-in-law actually is honored here. And so I went and looked at her little tribute. So I think I'm only she was an Army nurse. So, yeah.
So shout out to everybody involved, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got a lot of people coming in saying that I should root for Army. Okay, very good. Let me know what you think or who I should root for.
Good question.
In this Army-Navy game. We continue here in the loop on it. It is a Football Friday here in the loop. And coming up next, let's go around the NFL, talk about some football things, including, did y'all actually watch that football game? We'll talk about it next.